on Patreon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Two, seven. All right. 1 second here. Yeah. There's a switchboard. I have a lot of brothers and sisters waiting on board 347. Steve coming first, but not before we take a short break. Okay. Only a minute and 20 seconds. Hold tight. I'll be right back. That's right, I'm Elder Rick Oshaw of the Gathering of Christ Church, and you are invited. Week 8 is the lesson. Elder Lawyer, it's week 8 already? I think it's, yeah, Lord. Well, week 8, we will be going into the secret relationship between Jewish people and the tribe of Judah. Steve, 347 area code, has a comment and a question. What say you?
Shalom, Elders. Thank you for this program. It was poignant and on time for the situations that we are experiencing in this time of trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. I have a twin young nieces that will be graduating high school this year.
Okay.
And one of my nieces just told me this evening that she wants to go on to college.
Mm.
Unfortunately, like, girls have been exposed to an idealism of this world where they're completely open to anything. Their minds have been programmed to where they believe that the alphabet people are correct in what they're doing. And
what? I'm listening.
Idealisms of where women can do anything that men can do. And when I try to address these things with them, asking them where are they getting this information, where are they getting this understanding from, they never really try to divulge that. They always try to divert by coming up with mm-hmm. other questions. Instead of giving you an answer to your question, they give you more questions. And really, how do you get through a mindset like that?
It's going to be tough.
That's my question.
Well, let me say this. It's going to be tough because it's the excitement factor that a lot of not just women but young people in particular look forward to, which is the next chapter into adulthood. It isn't like when we were growing up where there was a buffer, where there was the majority of us came out of the church. We came with a conscience, even with a conscience, you know, going into college, right? There was a spiritual balance in fear of God. When now, you have to realize our women, you know, in particular, and a lot of women do, the difference is some people go into college seeking to, they're going to soar some of the oats, whatever those are, but they're going to come out married. Or at the least engaged, right? But on the other end, our sisters, even though they're the most enrolled, right, not the most educated or graduated, but the most enrolled, sometimes they leave college absent of virtue, and their innocence are taken, and the time is wasted, right? So, but it's hard to tell someone who haven't experienced anything not to do something. It's just tough. The only thing you can do if they're going to go is to be that guide and wisdom while they're there. Okay? And that's all you can do. Right? And I can give you an example of, you know, there was a situation where I didn't want to rob someone of their, someone close to me, of their experiences. Because I know they needed life experiences, right, to grow, right? But I always had a pastor or someone when I was growing up I could lean on going to school or whatever the case might be. And believe it or not, because I was there, sometimes I received phone calls. I received a phone call one time where someone was this close to being initiated into a fraternity. I've had phone calls where someone was actually about to, that night, right, about to be initiated into a sorority. But the whole deal was they knew in their conscience to call at that time, and all praises be to the Most High, I picked up because it was a draw. They didn't know. They don't understand that they connect themselves to the dead at that party with these initiations and oaths. They don't know a spirit leaves the graveyard with them. See? So the best thing you can do is be that anchor. Become that wisdom to guide them through, because there's a lot of positive things that comes with learning if there's a guide to guide them through it. Right? Mm-hmm. So I would never say, because sometimes if you be too abrasive when it comes to these situations, they aren't going to call you in their time of need. They're going to cut you off because you're the person who's going to be the I told you so. You're the person who gives them a conscience, yeah, and all these things. You're always berating them. That's how they see it. And you're getting in the way of their growth. And they want to experience adulthood. So there's a balance there. Unfortunate in this balance in school, right, that whole world has a greater pull. It just does. But all in all, if they're going to college, that's their choice. You understand? You've already explained what your concerns were, and you have to guide them and let them know, listen, something go down there and you need some help, know I'm there to get you through it. That's the best advice I can give you on that. Because they're going to go anyway. All right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Elder.
Anything else? Well, that was it. You're welcome.
That was it. Yeah.
All right. All right. Tawada. All right. Shalom, I'm going to place you on hold. And I'm going to do another thing is, especially when I, as we deal with these particular topics, right, there's a lot of women out there who are actually renouncing their sororities, right? Because sometimes what happens in the heat of, in the midst of doing this, the fun and the excitement and all that, they had no idea at a young age what they were actually pledging to. Right. They just thought it was just some fun thing to become a part of a club. Well, no, you attach yourself to a demon. And a lot of these women and a lot of these brothers don't tell people concerning that spirit that attached themselves to you, that they can feel the presence of it. And they're very quiet concerning it. This is why they don't like being alone. I'm going to tell you, folks. So a lot of women, a lot of brothers have came to Christ and have renounced their pledge because you can't serve two masters that way. And through that, they were able to sleep, find peace. That thing that attached themselves, that you call as a partner to guide you in life, must go back to the graveyard. It's a demon. Okay, so when you see people like that demon, what's his name? that demon, I would say catcher, by the name of Umar Johnson running around in graveyards and pouring libations, that grift is still in and ain't opened up one school yet. That's why you got to watch wizards like that, because when he go in the graveyard, he takes another spirit with him. All of these are part of ancient Canaanite rituals to attach yourself to a spirit, right? They cannot come in. The only way they can come in like vampires is if you open the door. But when they're in, they wreck shop. Okay? And sisters have to watch out, because when they go in, the curiosity is something else, and they're targeted by all types of spirits when they go in, right, to take their virtue or innocence, right? Even from the letter people or whatever the case is, they'll be approached that way. All of that, right? Jay has a comment. Shalom.
Oh, shalom, Elder. This is Sister Day.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed by the Almighty. What say you?
I just, after looking at everything you brought out about the sisters being careful about what we get ourselves into and not having a hedge of protection, it is very important that we don't, you know, travel by ourselves, that we don't get involved in these sororities, and, you know, and I get it for the young sisters that's, you know, that's growing up, like my nieces and my, you know, they're going through college and stuff, and I just be a support to them. I don't really tell them, you know, don't do this and don't do that, because like you said, they won't tell you anything if they feel like you're blocking them from what they call starting their life.
Yeah.
It's very it's not a surprising to me, because this stuff with them taking our organs and stuff and, you know, experimenting on our bodies for years and you know, us not really understanding how important it is that, you know, when we go to the doctors, we go with the intent of things of, you know, what we need, not letting them guide us and tell us what they want to do to our bodies.
Okay.
And not having that, you know, if our husbands or our fathers or our uncles is telling us, like, hey, you go in there with a plan, you know, you tell them you need this, you need that, and that's it. But the problem with a lot of our sisters, we are all, you know, we're knowledgeable in our own way, but sometimes we let what the world and society and the people we looked up to and idolize direct our path. So instead of us using what the Most High gave us and what he told us not to do, we fall into their traps. And I actually had a similar situation when I graduated from college. I actually got invited to come out to California, and they kept
Come out to California to do what?
They wanted me to come to one of their parties. They was very adamant about it, and I ripped up the letter. And like I said, they track us, you know. They know where we are. They know where we live. You know, they know where we go. So,
okay.
You know, it's one of them things, like, you know, I just didn't fall for the trap. And just because it was offered to me, I still turned it down.
Let me ask you this, because it seems like we are the most educated generation since our time here in America, right? You would have thought that us with all this education and knowledge would be well ahead of our foreparents who were in slavery without any education at all.
Mm-hmm.
What did we lose? And we didn't have no education, but family, God, Christ. We had ingenuity, but we didn't have, there was no HBCUs.
Right.
So So did we lose a few IQ points getting the education, right? Because the uneducated was the uneducated of our people throughout society that have gotten us through this point. It seems as if they were more level-headed with common sense.
I agree with you.
So I need to know how has education helped our people in the community?
It hasn't done much for us, honestly.
If anything, it seems as if it was a tool to actually tear us apart through a serious negative indoctrination. There's a difference between education and indoctrination, right? Like, we didn't go to school back then, even when Dr. Martin Luther King went to school and got degrees and all that. We weren't going to school to become activists like we see today, where everything is political. Right. No, we went to get a trade or some level of education to come back to actually help our community. So I don't know what they call education today, because I see people with all these degrees that doesn't transfer to anything outside of telling people they have one. It doesn't transfer to finances. It doesn't transfer to helping your own community. If anything, it makes you more hard-headed, thinking that you know everything going to school, to the point where you can't even listen to someone trying to save you. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to reexamine all of this and get right back to the basis, because we didn't have all this education and all that, but one thing we had was the Bible. We had God. We had family and each other. And what I find is that having this Bible, that's really the greatest education one could have, because through the Bible, you're able to now understand all dynamics of life, including the Greek education, right? So the whole deal is, I think we've been deceived with bells and whistles, and they've turned school into an indoctrination camp, as well as a divisive type of institution. That now you become an enemy of the community instead of one there to actually help it. Thank you, sister.
And I was going to actually say, I felt like, too, it made us lose our purpose in life. What is the real reason why we were put here to create, why we were put here? So we lost our purpose and started focusing on the wrong things. And I yield with that.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. It's not to say education isn't good, but when you weigh both dynamics, with we came up with no education at all, but yet our community was stronger. Okay? And not only that, we had no debt as far as education goes. What a trap. What a trap. Okay? I can go on and on with this. How they tricked our people into this, how they tricked our sisters into this, okay? Because let me tell you, there's always been some level of welfare named something different when other people have gotten it, right? But all in all, you have these useless athletics in college, right? Where white women and all these other girls play these athletics, these useless athletics, bringing in no money, but it gives them a free board into colleges. They don't have that for us, right? And they come out with less debt, right? And I'm going to tell you, some of our sisters go into there being young, believing that, okay, this is free money, right? They're going to give me money. I don't have money, so they give me money anyway to get an education. So it's money I don't have anyway. That's how they're thinking. And then say, well, if I get a job down the line that makes this amount per year, it'll be this amount of time. In 10 years, this will be paid off, and I'll be making hands over fist. And then you get out of school and realize it was all a lie, and they – took advantage of your naive thinking. You never catch up to the debt. The debt compounds. You realize you were played for a piece of paper that's worth absolutely nothing if it doesn't transfer into real-time finances, right? And the person who took a trade now, who didn't go to school, is making hands over fist more than a person who dedicated themselves to higher learning, right? But I digress. 720 area code. Let's go down the line.
Oh, this is targeting area code.
They're targeting the daughters of Zion. Okay, that's our talking point. Let's talk about it. 720 area code. What say you?
Hey, what's
all right? Going down the line. I seen Steve. We had Steve already. Is that Stevie or? Okay, that's Stevie.
Yes, this is Stevie. Yeah, Brother Stevie Diamond. Shalom, Elder.
Sing extraordinaire, Stevie Diamond. How are you, sir?
I'm humbled by the statement. Even have that coming from you, Elder. Celebrate your music quite a bit in the house ourselves. I want to say very timely message for a couple of different reasons. I actually have seen that video before floating across the internet, and it reminded me of a time when, because I was previously married some years ago, I'm getting married again, so I wanted to also let you know that.
Congratulations.
Thank you on July 28th. But what was crazy, what was very interesting about that video also, that those women were very attractive young women. And I remember back when I was on the internet, it was some information floating around about the bands and how to spot the bands. They were giving tips on how to spot these bands that were snatching up kids and women. And I actually found one when I was out on the trip at night going to get food for my ex-wife during that point in time. And I called the police. And what was peculiar was they had a police officer already patrolling the parking lot where I was picking up some food. And when I went into the restaurant, and I pulled up on the van, before I went into the restaurant, I circled around the van to be sure this was one of those vans. I saw that the cabin was enclosed. And I was like, they built that wall up that they said look at, and they had these specialized locks on the outside of the door. And I was like, wow, let me call the police. And after I did that, I went inside the restaurant to get some food. And it was two black guys that was, like, fidgeting, and they looked nervous. And I said, that van must have been theirs. I said, okay. Man, so they're staring at me. These are black guys. So I'm kind of, like, surprised that these are black guys on top of that. But I noticed that they were young, attractive-looking young guys. You know, one guy was driving a Charger. The other guy was driving the van. And when I looked at that video of how attractive these young women were, I was looking at that. I was like, well, these women aren't necessarily going to get in necessarily to give their organs, but sometimes through temptation, how you always, you know, do these lessons about the hour of temptation, and it reminded me of that they'll use these fine-looking women, these attractive young men, to bait you into these scenarios. And because we're just living in our lust. We're not looking for a husband. We're not looking for a wife. We're just looking for something to lay down with. And next thing you know, we don't see you anymore. So
yeah,
very, very interesting scenario there, Elder. Yep.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out, because you have to realize when it comes to a lot of these mercenary type of groups, they'll usually use someone from a different country who was born and raised to be under their clandestine type of military thing. And they'll dress them up in our neighborhoods to lure people into this. So sometimes it's people looking just like us. I remember in Philadelphia, there was a big report about a guy who was dressed up, you know, in one of those Muslim things, like a Muslim guard of a woman. And he was trying to go inside one of these charter schools to take a child. So a lot of these people be from other countries and all that, and they come in and they make agreements to get paid to snatch people. So it's just we have to keep our head on a swivel, but all in all, we have to become moving targets, and especially our women, to make it harder for them. We can't expose ourselves to a degree where there's no protection is the issue. We have to, you know, I'm glad you did that, brother, but all in all, sisters have to put themselves in place to be protected. And I believe sisters, I thank the Most High because we're coming on a time where I'm seeing sisters starting to recognize to some degree, you know what? We've been played. Sisters are starting to wake up and say, hold up. Because the men aren't talking about it no more. Men are just going about it and saying, well, listen, we've been speaking for many years and saying, come back. But men have stopped speaking, which is stopped saying, you know, have stopped complaining. Men are just going about their business and saying, well, and threw their hands up, which is that's not a place where women want men at right now, right? And so sisters are saying, you know what? We've been played. And I'm hearing it more and more and more. I'm hearing it. The sentiment out there is changing. I can hear it. Pride won't allow them to say outright, listen, you know, we were wrong. I'm sorry, whatever the case is. And some are actually saying I'm sorry, too. There's apology tours going on. And, you know, guess what? They've been wrong on either side. But all in all, sisters know that they've been played to some degree into this feminist thing, Diamond, but here's the whole deal. Usually they don't get into the phase of understanding their play until after they've lost their innocence between 18 and 25. Yep. And, you know, it's only after they've had their fun and all that they want to now say, well, okay, I'm wiser now. But guess what? We're living in a time where a woman could actually, a young girl, could try to, you know, experience her best life at an early age, and now, based on what's going on in the earth, not live to see that age where they wise up to realize they made mistakes. And that's why I wanted to highlight this particular thing tonight. I wanted to talk about it because the enemy is here. This summer and spring is going to be the purge. They're letting all types of people over, and where these people come from, snatching people for money is par for the course. If that's a normal day, living from where they come from.
Beautiful, beautiful that you highlighted that, because that shows the intangible value. Also, in an adverse kind of way, even though it's perverted, it shows the intangible value of our women. That even when those young ladies were being asked the question about how much would you take $100, he's throwing money out there. You could tell, you could see the countenance of their face was like, it's not really enough money to really offer me. But the fact that they feel like so confident that they trained us that well to respond to money and operate like that, it says a lot about what a lot of our women have done to make them feel that way and feel confident in that way.
And I hope our sisters are waking up. That's why I wanted to show that video, is that this is how they look at this. And they have always looked at our sisters in this type of negative, carnal way without valuing who they are, right? And that's nothing to be celebrated. It's nothing to be celebrated, right? So, and you know what? And only they can change it. And I believe that a lot of our sisters who are falling on this broadcast will do exactly that. Thank you, Diamond, and I hope to see you and hear you at the Passover this year.
we're working on that now. I've been in contact with Torrance and looking forward to, Most High willing, I will be there. And I would love to talk to AC a little bit, and Deacon Kevin over here in the Petersburg body. we're talking about the wedding and getting in touch with you about some details about that. So
okay.
I'll be looking forward to drive. Yep, I'll fill you in on some things.
Okay, yep. We'll talk. I'll reach out to you soon. All right.
All right.
My brother. All right. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Yeah. All right. We have Kay has a comment from the UK.
Shalom, Elder Rakar.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Kay.
Yeah.
What's
Shalom.
It? Shalom. When I was growing up, I had four brothers, so I wasn't allowed out of the house with at least two of them with me. So I always had protection with me, you know, whenever I went anywhere, parties, etc. There was always at least one brother with me.
Okay,
but,
that's good.
My nieces, majority of them went to university. I have seven nieces, but one of them just turned nine, so she doesn't count, but... Yeah, majority of them went to university, two sisters and my oldest brother's daughter. The two sisters, my oldest niece is she's just turned 30, is it 38 or 39, doesn't matter, and her sister. I don't know what happened to them, but the older one, all of a sudden she just had this bull ring piercing through her nose. And when my mom saw it at first, she said, here, take this tissue, your nose is running. She hadn't realized that she had a piercing. And then a few months later, her younger sister came with the same piercing in her nose. And then a little while after that, she had a piercing in her face. And it was like, why would you do that? Why would you get a hole in your face? But, you know, I realized that they don't know why they're doing it. They don't know why they are getting tattoos. They don't know why they're getting all these piercings that they don't need. They have no idea. But
well,
the
sister,
younger one...
Sister, I hate to tell you, but they know exactly why they have it.
Okay.
That's not sleep on them. The whole thing is these are initiations into witch covens and witchcraft and dealing with the dark forces, okay? And what happens is these septum rings is a marker. This is so that people can identify witches. This is how you can identify those who have been overtaken by a demon, okay? So these women that had that bull ring, all of that, it's really a conversation. It's really... silent conversation between witches to recognize one another. Okay? Even when they get the tats on them and all that, this is after what? After a spirit have actually taken over. High-level promiscuity, giving your body, dealing all these things. The spirit comes in and began to destroy the body. Okay? So we need to start giving them... Right. We usually see our nieces, children and all that in the innocence they were raised watching them growing up. But all in all, no, they're coming back. Everything they're doing is with full intentions, both eyes open, both ears open, jumping full into exactly what they're doing. Okay.
And
to me, I see these young girls with the septum rings. And I know what it means and all that. And these are, you got to steer away from these type of people. They're very dangerous people. But go on.
Yep. Yeah, the other niece, my oldest brother's daughter, she's nothing like those two because the younger sister, she now has the fake eyelashes, looked like she went out in the garden and just got the biggest spiders she could find and just glued them to her eyelids. That's what it looks like to me. The other niece, she's nothing like that. She has her head screwed on, and thank the Most High for that. She's got her head screwed on. She's on just focused onto what she wants to get out of life. She's got her degree, yes, from university, but instead of it using her, she's using it to get where she needs to be and get what she wants, which is obviously the house and, you know, a good job. She does work very, very hard. And, yeah, she has her head screwed on. And I was thinking, but she went to the same university as the younger sister, so I don't understand. The same thing didn't happen to her as a, or she didn't go through the same thing as her cousin. This is kind of weird, but I'm happy. I'm happy that, you know, she's not in any witches' covens or got any piercings or no tattoos or anything. I'm so happy for that.
Well, keep her away from the rest of them. Keep her away from the rest of them.
I'm trying, believe me.
Okay, let me give you these two real quick. So I'm going to show people, since you brought this up, because we see, we're starting to see this more times than not, young girls online and others with these septum rings. For those who don't know what she's talking about, brothers and sisters, on the screen here, right? What is this called? It's called a witchy septum ring. These are signs that people are, women have given themselves to the occult, okay? Daughters of Satan, all right? That's who they are. What does it symbolize? Here's, I'm going to show that a little later. What does it symbolize, right? When you read about it, what does a septum ring symbolize, right? A septum ring or a septum piercing signifies self-expression, right? They think it's self-expression, right? It's really a demon in them. Uniqueness. And what? Here's why you have to run. It symbolizes rebellion. It symbolizes self-expression, uniqueness, and rebellion. It's like trying to tame a bull. They call it spiritually. You ask them if they believe in God, they'll say, no. You know, I do, not that I don't believe in God, but I'm spiritual. No, you're a demon. You got a demon in you. Spiritually, it's believed to help you communicate with the divine and your higher self. You want a higher self? Get a husband. Okay? Humans have been piercing their septums for at least 46,000 years, which is a lie because the earth hasn't been here that long. To indigenous Australians, they represent adulthood, while in India, they signify marriage, okay? So again, it's called a witch ring. The majority of our people have been initiated into occult thinking, occult believing. And they claim to be so spiritual, but there's nothing in life that they can actually point to show that their spirituality has benefited them. Okay, so no, you worship the devil. All right, hold on, sister, and I will put out a prayer that your nieces see the light before the darkness come. All right, which is hell.
The water.
All right. Thank you,
sister. The elder.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got these girls running around. They know what they're doing. I'm gonna tell you, for years I've seen women, young girls, dabble into stuff that young boys weren't even thinking about, okay? We playing basketball, we playing football, this, that, and the other. We doing this, that, and the other. And she got an astrology book. She got this, she got that. Always Ouija boards and all types of candles and crystals and all that. Like, oh, what's going on? Love potions and, right? 404 area code. Nisha has a comment.
Hi, Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, Nisha. What say you?
I just wanted to comment on the video that you showed. I did see it a while back. But my comment is, I say about almost 10 years ago, I was working at a restaurant somewhat lounge. And in the restroom, they had these posters in the women's restroom where you can sell your eggs. Like it was on the back of the door when you use the restroom.
You can sell your eggs.
Yes, the same way that the video shows where he's saying he want to buy her eggs. And I seen this almost 10 years ago.
Mm.
And I was puzzled by it because I was like, why is it in the women's restroom? And it had the exact same age. Actually, the girls was in there was like, oh, I just missed it. You know, like it was age 18 through 25.
So it was
a
study, and girls were saying that they were disappointed that they actually missed the appointment. You mean to tell me, obviously our young ladies were calling in and getting this, donating their eggs.
Well, it was a poster, pretty much like an advertisement that you can get in contact with whatever number they had there.
Okay. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. And once I seen the video tonight, you know, I just thought about it and I was like, wow, that was almost 10 years ago. So, you know, they've been doing this for a long time. And
I'll tell you what, based on what we're seeing now and how far technology has went with social media and others, they don't have to plastered on doors for volunteers anymore. They're actually flying them out and bringing them into these parties, you know, like this private party that I showed earlier that was filmed without their knowledge. And,
exactly.
And actually doing it that way. So now through social media, they're coming straight to the women and saying, and a lot of the women think that, you know, it was a random pick that they're at this party, not realizing that probably these rich men have been following them and getting the research, the medical research on them for years. So this could be why a lot of our sisters are coming up missing now. So you just have to be careful out there. These people are vampires.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yes, I wanted to share another comment with how they treat black women.
If you got a sister here, Kiana Price says, yes, I have a classmate, a young white lady, that was bragging about selling her eggs for a few thousand dollars to help pay her tuition.
What I'm saying is if they was just doing it, they was like they were aiming to the club age. So that was just one club. That was just one club lounge. So you just can imagine how many other posters were in the restroom on the door when you close the door to use the restroom.
Mm.
And then
I was growing up, we used to say they're doing a lot of derange. A lot of derange for some change. But go on, what do you have next?
And my next thing is once I turned 40, I had to do, you know, I have to do the mammogram. And
why?
I did the mammogram, breast exam.
What I'm saying is why you had to do it at 40.
Well, they don't want you to do it before the age of 40.
Okay. I don't think you was in our Patreon where a doctor was talking about what's really going on with that.
Well, I'm not in the Patreon. I actually just started following you, I say, since September, and Elder, I have learned so much, and I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I'm looking to join the history.com Bible Academy, and also looking to find
your church that's located in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. This is what I want you to do, though. I'm going to let you talk. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Peter. Write it
Dr.
down.
Dr. Peter
Getzsche. That's Getzsche.
Okay.
Getzsche. And type in mammogram, and you'll hear all you need to hear. You can look that up on YouTube on your own time. He's a doctor. All right?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
All right. You have the last word. I need to go to the next call, but go on. You have the last word here before I transition to the next call.
I'm very interested in how to, build the armor for, the Most High with what's coming ahead of us, because I have, daughters that I'm raising, and I am a single mom from low income, and, back to, getting in line with, what's going on in the world today. But other than that,
How old are you?
I'm 44.
And you're from what? Georgia?
Yes.
Okay. I can have... Hold on. Go ahead. I'm listening because I got to get to the next call now. But,
I have to get to the next call. With the mammogram, they was trying to put a marker in me, and I had no signs of any lumps or anything in my breast, and I refused.
I don't know if you know, but there's certain medical things that if we talk about, it brings a flag to this channel. So that's why I talk about the medical things more so on Patreon, because they'll claim I'm giving medical advice and all this, and they're looking for reasons for me to violate. So I can't talk about that. But I'm glad you made the right decision. What I'll do in the interim, though, hold on. I'll make sure Bishop Baruch contact you so that you can bring your daughters to the church, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. And your name is what? Nisha?
My name, you can say Nisha or Lamisha.
Okay, I'm going to make sure someone give you a call no later than Monday, all right?
Thank you so much, and you guys keep up the good work. I've learned so much, and I'm proud of you guys. You keep going.
All praise be to the Most High. We're proud of you. Welcome to the light. Welcome to the truth. It's lonely here. All right, bless you. All right. It's lonely. The world has gone mad. 984 area code.
Shalom, Brother Ricard. This is Simona. Alexia, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
I'm fine, thank you.
What say you with them seeking to use our sisters since the beginning, since slavery, as science projects? Huh?
What I think of them using sisters as a science project? Well, they got another thing coming. But I want to read this. This not really shocked me, but I'm not too surprised, and none of you should be too surprised. But my girlfriend showed me this page. She's living now in Africa, and now I'm in Mexico at this time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you the precept before I read this. It's short. It's not long. Okay. Luke 21, verse 6. Precept, Luke 19, verse 44, Genesis 5, verse 25, 27, 30, and 34. And it has the subtitle, A Whole New World. Now, I want everybody in the audience to listen to this very carefully. We probably already know about this anyway, but... It's just coming from this page that this person doesn't want to tell us the whole book where he got this from. In Hebrew, Cain was the fruit of Eve's womb and symbolized the forbidden fruit Eve took. As the son is born in the image or imprint of his father, so was Cain. He was beautiful and white or albino, just as Lucifer was.
We can't do that here, sister.
Why?
Because you have to tell me where you're going at, because if you're bringing in another narrative and philosophy from someplace else,
bringing in another philosophy, but it's going to tell you something.
No, I need you to tell me something first.
Oh, okay.
What is it talking about first before we get into these scriptures that could be talking about something else?
It's telling you that Cain is actually Lucifer's son.
No,
when
he isn't.
You go into the scripture when it says,
sister,
I will put enmity between the
sister,
woman's seed and the
sister,
serpent's seed.
I know you hear me saying, sister. Okay? Get your Bible. Let me know when you got your Bible.
I'm going to go into online, official authorized.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm online.
Okay. I need you now. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah, I do have a loose Bible, but I can go online too, because I'm sitting here at the computer, so what do you want me to go to?
Okay. I need you to go to Genesis 3. Let me know when you're there.
3:20.
Let's go there first. Right? Let me know when you're there.
Okay, I'm clicking on it. Okay.
Okay. I need you to read yourself, right? I need you to read 3:20. Read that. No, you can read it out loud so everybody can hear you.
But of the fruit of the tree, which is the
midst of
the garden.
Genesis 3:20.
Oh, you want me to go to that part. Okay. And Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living.
So let's start there. There's only Adam and Eve here, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I need you to go to Genesis 4:1. Read that.
Genesis 4:1.
It's only a chapter over. Genesis 4.
And Abel.
And Adam. First man. Can you read it?
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
So now, relax for a second. No, just relax for it. Just let it marinate for a second in your mind. Don't think about anything. I need that to really seep into you. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. That means a man and woman get together and do what adults do. And she conceived. She got pregnant. And bear Cain. And it said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So this is what God said. So I need you to show me where Satan laid down with Eve, where it was, Satan or the serpent knew Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. What scripture is that?
that's not going to, it's eliminated. This was one of the old manuscripts that this other gentleman who's a teacher,
he
broke it down further.
Listen, sister. That man need to get into a, you need to tell him, and you bring him with you to come and learn again. He don't know what he's talking about. Okay, that's number one. And that's the confusion that's out there, right? And there's another thing out there, right? And I need you to read this for me real quick, right? You ready? You ready?
Oh, yeah, and I got to ask you a question. Okay, go ahead.
I'm saying, but we understand that Adam knew Eve and they brought forth Cain, right?
Yeah, they brought forth Cain. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that excludes anyone else coming into the picture. You're talking about this man, and this man is dealing with a doctrine of the devil, okay? So I can't, he's just a regular man with no sense if he's teaching that, all right? That's number one, all right? So let's get to the next thing. All right, you ready?
Go ahead.
All right, come on. I need you to go to Timothy's 2 real quick for me. Let me know when you're there.
Timothy.
Right? I'm going to grab it for you.
Timothy. Is that Timothy 1?
The second chapter.
Okay.
Right.
You mean the second book. The second book or the second chapter of Timothy 1?
Matter of fact, 1 Timothy 2, right? We're going to talk about it, right? There's a few things I wanted to show you here because how long have you been learning with us?
Oh, since 2012. Now,
2012?
You know, through the years, you may pick up with some more information that are eliminated from the Bible. So they take it out just like Enoch. Just like the book of Maccabees.
I need you to flow with me because sometimes you listen to me, you hear what I'm saying, and you flow off, right? I need you to just link in with, I'm a teacher right now, right? I need you to go to 1 Timothy and read the 11th chapter. 1 Timothy 2. Let's get it real quick. Let me know when you're there.
Timothy 11.
1 Timothy 2.
Okay.
Right?
And then verse 11.
1 Timothy 2. Let me know when you're there.
And 11.
Okay, can you read 11?
Let the woman learn in silence and with all suggestion.
Okay, let's flow real. Let's give that some space real quick. See, and that's why I had to come in and say, whoa, 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 whoa. What you spouting out scriptures, and here it is, there's thousands of people listening here, and you're totally off the track. Bring in some stuff that you thought was deep from someone else that have nothing to do with God. All due respect to you. I'm just teaching you right now. I'm not reprimanding you or nothing. I'm just showing you where you went off the rails at. This is why the Most High set up men to teach, and not the man that you're talking about who claimed that Satan was Cain's father. He's dealing with some nonsense that came from what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about what? Jewish fables. That's something that came from one form of what? Jewish mysticism and an ideology that came from them that some black people picked up as if they were deep. Okay? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Read on. 12th verse. 2 and 12. You can read it.
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
See, that scripture is a real deep thing, and I need you to take that in. I need you to really inhale that. When you have men teaching the Bible system, you start spouting out scriptures that can be some nonsense. Now, no disrespect from you, because you're just picking stuff up. You online just browsing. But we have kingdom direction, which the Bible states, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one doctrine the disciple were teaching. And the disciples never said that Satan, Christ never said that Satan Now, I'll tell you this, though. I can see what people can try to philosophize. In Colossians 2 and 8 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. So you can philosophize whatever you want, right? But this is a teaching moment. Christ told the Pharisees and scribes, ye of your father the devil and the lust of your father ye shall do. You will do. You were a murderer from the beginning, right? And he says, the truth is not in you. Now, we know the first murder came from Cain. And Satan, right? Satan became his Lord, right? So let me show you where Satan came in. Want me to show you that real quick? It's a teaching moment. You ready? Mm-hmm. You want to show you? Let's go to Genesis 4. This is a teaching moment. Sister, I'm showing you to keep you on track so you can stay right here. If you start going all around these places with this nonsense people are talking about, they're going to toss you all over the place. And then it'll take us to actually bring you back to where you were since 2012, to the simplicity of the Bible. All right? Let's go now to Genesis 4 real quick. Let me know when you're there.
Okay.
Now, I'm taking time with you so that I can show you not to go off the rails, because these people will lead you to hell with their false doctrines, right? Let me know when you got Genesis 4 real quick.
Yes.
You there?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to after Cain slew his brother, right? Right? So let's go here. And I'll show you what the Most High said concerning Cain when Cain brought the wrong sacrifice, right? Right? So read Genesis 4 and 7. This is after Cain brought the wrong sacrifice, right? He brought fruit and vegetables. Now, it was a blood sacrifice that covered Adam and Eve. Animals had to die, clean animals, to cover them with coats. So, of course, Cain knew to bring a blood sacrifice and not cabbage, okay? So now, read the seventh verse for me.
If thou dost well, shall thy not be accepted, and thy doest not well, send light at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
See? So if Cain do what's wrong, Satan is coming, right? That's when Satan became his father, okay? He killed his brother Abel, and now the Most High turned him over. Cain then built the first city of angels, in the land of Nod, and began sin on earth. This is when the serpent became Cain's father, when he did evil. But he wasn't Cain's physical father, okay? You got it?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How come he wasn't included in the lineage of Adam? Because you would think Enoch is the eighth, but Enoch is the seventh. So you notice when you go into, Genesis,
let's go back
why
to the
wasn't
original,
he included?
Let's go back to the original question. You don't have to go into the eighth and seventh, because that's philosophy. Why wasn't Cain added in the genealogy? The reason why is that he killed his brother Abel, and he was turned to Satan. Therefore, Seth would begin the line. So what did he do? He destroyed his own birthright by killing his brother. He was warned not to. So he's not written in the line of the righteous. Okay? What did the Most High tell him? If you do that, I'm kicking you out. So how can he be in the line of the righteous after murdering his own brother? He was warned. Okay? Okay. So just for keep's sake, because it seems as if whatever you're dealing with, this first verse has went over your head. Let's read that first verse again. Genesis 4 and 1. Read it again. Genesis 4 and 1.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain.
and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
Okay.
Now,
so according to, no, just relax. Take it in. So according to Genesis 4 and 1, who is Cain's father?
Cain's demeanor was not like Adam.
Again,
because
again.
When
no,
you
I'm not,
read
listen,
the book in
listen,
Jasper.
Listen, listen to me. I'm going to ask again. According to what we're reading in the first verse, Adam knew Eve, his wife, right? Getting together, adult stuff. And she conceived, pregnant, and bare Cain, son, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So what does Adam have to do with the first verse?
And bare Cain. Something happened in the garden other than
listen,
that.
Listen, listen, listen. If you want to believe something else happened in the garden, sister, there's nothing else I can do. Okay? And then, you know what? You're going into a doctrine straight from the pits of hell. That's all I can tell you. If you're going to ignore what you're reading with your own eyes only to see what you have to go around and try to prove, there's nothing I can do.
I'm not trying to prove anything, but there's other scriptures
sister,
that does
sister,
line up to what
sister,
you figured out.
Sister,
if
listen.
You go to Matthew.
Not, sister, again, I'm about to go to the next call. There's nothing that you can say that can undo Genesis 4 and 1. If anything, you should go to precepts to prove Genesis 4 and 1 because that's what happened. Adam knew Eve, his wife, the serpent have nothing to do with this, and she conceived. She got pregnant because they did adult stuff, first man, first woman, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Sister, if I got to try to break this down, when you get this down, you give me a call. But before then, please don't come on our lessons spouting out scriptures from some stuff you found online with someone who has a doctrine from the pits of hell. All right? That good?
Okay.
Okay, thank
there's
you.
One more question. Was the devil a cherubim or a seraphim?
Well, you have to realize there was ranks. What happened in heaven was he was cherubim first.
Right.
And then
I thought so.
He was,
and then,
No. He was seraphim first. He was
right.
Seraphim, which is a higher rank. And then he was warned. He was knocked to cherubim. And then after that... After cherubim, right, he was, in the beginning, he was one of the sons of God who sang before the Almighty. Another role.
Mm-hmm.
He went from seraphim, cherubim, face of the deep, and then the Most High put a firmament around his evil self, and him and the one-third of the angels was trapped here, right? And that began the gods on earth before what? Before Adam was made from the dust of the ground, okay?
Okay, so he was a cherubim. Then wasn't he lowered to a seraphim because he's a feathered dragon?
He was seraph. He was warned, and then he was cherub. He was also another function, which was a singer before the Almighty. And then him and one-third came to the face of the deep. Okay? So now,
okay.
I've placed too much time outside the topic. If you're in the academy, are you in the academy?
No, I was one time in the academy.
Okay.
So
I was
haven't been in a while.
Unfortunate, sister, if you'd have been in this academy for the creation, all of that would have been answered. That's a simple thing when it comes to the rankings of the angels and what happened there leading to the face of the deep. But I thank you. Stay focused
okay.
on the church. Get back on track. And I thank you for the call because what you've done, in essence, it's helped others who probably thought that Satan was Cain's father. And now they know not to go into that either. All right? Thank you, sister.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bless you.
Bless you.
All right. Lord, have mercy. Bless you, sister. I know you're still speaking, but, hey, we were here the whole time. 503 area code. They are targeting the daughters of Zion. And daughters of Zion are being targeted in more ways than one, obviously, right? 503 area code, right? No caller. Okay, I'm going to go down the line. Joshua has a question.
Question? I'm muted.
Joshua has a question.
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Oh, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. All praise to the Most High, man. Elder Recall, yeah, I've been knowing about you for like the past 7 years, you know, and I've been watching your videos, and, you know, man, it's just a blessing to get to talk to you for the first time, man, for real, man. So all praise to the Most High for a teacher like you, man, for real. I appreciate what you do, man, and the message that you're spreading.
All praises be to the Most High, brother. Thank you. Thank you. All praises. What say you?
Yeah.
I just wanted to come on and say hello. What's happening?
I also wanted to ask some questions. But, yeah, man, I wanted to get on this topic. So what do you – here's the thing, man. So I've been hearing a lot about interracial marriage and what the Bible has to say about it, you know, and here's what I'm going to say. I don't disagree with what the Bible says because, you know, I'm not going to put my opinion and what I think over what God says. But what I don't like is how you got people out there, you know, and all these other camps, you know, trying to use, you know, the Bible to say, oh, an Israelite can't be with a Gentile woman, you know, or Israelite woman can't be with a Gentile man, you know, and there's been situations where, you know, I've heard people divorcing people because they use that scripture, you know, to make it fit their narrative, or, you know, there's been people, you know, personally that I know that have, like, talked brothers into, like, breaking up with their girlfriends because she was white, and I don't know, man, you know, I just don't like that, you know, and I just want to come to some type of knowledge on that, because I just don't like how people use that scripture where the Most High forbids the 12 tribes, you know, marrying other nation of women to say, oh, because your girl is white, you got to break up with her, or because your girl is this, you got to break up with her.
Okay, brother, I've heard this before, right? Right. And really, when it comes to any other camp and what they're dealing with, I mean, I believe that you need to talk to them about that. But the only thing I can say is this. Christ says what the Most High put together that no man put asunder. Right? That's number one. First of all, who someone married before they met you is none of your business. Right?
Yes.
So how can you tell? And then, listen, let me put this here. The Bible says here, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So you got these people who are seeking to be lords over another man's house. I would have told them, I'd have straight told them, mind your business. Okay? How can you tell me?
There you go.
How can you tell me to get rid of my own family? And I would come back and say, how do I know that you're Israelite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
now, listen. If you want to get technical, right? You had Israelites looking at Moses because he married an Ethiopian, and a whole division happened because of that. When the Most High, but they don't even realize the woman that Moses was married to, it was before when he was exiled, and he married the queen of Ethiopia. Right? A lot of people don't even know.
She was a Hamite, right?
Yeah, she was a Hamite, but she helped him to get to the point where he could actually, she was helping this Moses. And then Moses used a lot of her intellect and all that to help build himself to a degree. Keep in mind, Moses was an old man by the time he got back to Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're on the way out. Moses already married to the woman, and now people are actually mumbling. Yeah, you're going to bring a Hamite up in here. And what did the Most High do? The Most High smote. He smote Miriam, his sister, with leprosy and turned her white from head to foot, saying what? I never called you friend. I dare you defy the one who came to save your behind. Right? The whole deal is this. I'm a proponent for one staying with their nation. The best example of someone, right, actually standing there for their nation is marrying their nation. But what if you have a person who came in married already, right? So who is this person going to play Christ? So if you come in married already, I use the scripture, Matthew 25 and 31. First of all, I use the scripture that says, what the Most High put together, let no man put asunder. Mind your business. How can you tell somebody who's married to his wife that she can't come with them? Matter of fact, you don't deserve any of them in your congregation. Right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to try, then they're going to try to say, well, Ricard's doing this because he's trying to be Christ and Christians and all that. No. Don't try to project or misdirect. I'm saying it because it's none of your business. That's why I'm saying it. How can you tear up a man's family? And here it is. You got brothers in the truth who done had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wives as leaders in the same camp, but it's justified that these women are no longer around, and they were Israelites. So these women are no longer around, but yet you telling the man who's staying with his wife that he needs to get rid of her because of what? She don't have her Israelite papers?
Yeah.
Let me read.
Yeah,
hold on, stay there. Let me read Matthew 25, and let's see what Christ say about this. Because Christ is the one. Right?
First one.
This is Christ. Because even the disciples asked, well, if someone planted evil seed amongst our people, should we go and root them out? How do we know, right? Christ said, let them alone. Why? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before Christ, before him shall be gathered all races of people, all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. So Christ is going to divide the nations and put them where they need to be according to what? His plan for them. How can a leader of a so-called camp do the dividing before Christ comes? So I'm not one to sit. So I'm not here to talk about what other camps are doing. Because it's nonsense. You can't be a lord over someone's house and tell them who to marry when they're already married. Now you're going to tell them, oh yeah, by the person you just had kids with, your children with, and have built a family with, that you got to put her away to be a part of this. You know what? That's something that him or his, that whoever that is don't deserve that family in their building. Period. It's nonsense. And not only that, think about this. They have bigger issues. Because Christ says, unless you be born of water and the Spirit, you're not getting into the kingdom of heaven anyway. So you're trying to stop other people from coming in when you're not getting in for denying the baptism. And that's what Christ says. You stop up. It says you put something in front of the kingdom of heaven. You stop the kingdom of heaven for those who would come in. But you're not getting in yourself. They don't even respect the baptism. So how can they tell people who can come into Christ's building or kingdom? So, brother, the only thing you need to do, listen, I don't want to be around someone who's telling me what to do in my house anyway. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No, you can help guide me. But you will never hear Elder Ricard Shaw being the Lord over anybody's house in this church. A man is a Lord over his house. I can't tell somebody what to do in their house. So these guys are Pharisees. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And let me drop this on you, okay? Let me drop this on you. Matter of fact, I'm going to let it alone. Okay? That's all I'm asking.
No, that's it.
Because I'm going to tell you, it's straight hypocrisy. Because I've known situations. I was in UPK, right? H.G.O. General, Philadelphia. I've known situations where it was said in situations, well, listen, you know what I mean? A concubine is okay, all right? Because when you deal with a concubine, they're bringing forth an Israelite anyway. That was, but then it was, listen, that's the liberty that we can have, but it's nothing that can be publicized amongst people, which means it's okay for us to deal with Gentiles, Gentile women, and bring forth babies through them as long as no one know about it. Okay? So listen, I'm not the one, and they know I'm not the one. Okay?
Yeah, I understand.
So let's leave it there. All right?
Elder Ricard, last question about baptism,
yes,
real quick. I'm with my brother, and I had a woman tell me that I had to wait like 6 months before getting baptized. Is there a proper process for baptism?
No. This is. See, people get it confused, right? You don't have to wait 6 months to be baptized, right? If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you immediately. But let me tell you why we put a process in place, right? To learn. And then once you learn the doctrine and understand what you're being baptized into, we'd have some people say, I need to be baptized right now, right? In respect of saying that they want to be baptized with us. And then they're out the church a month later, two months later saying, well, hold up. I didn't know y'all believed this. I didn't know y'all believed that. I'm still confused about certain things. So what we do is we set up a class, let you understand what you're getting baptized into with the full doctrine. Because back then during John's time, you have to realize that we already knew we were Israelites. There's certain things we already had intact to understand what we were going into. So what we try to give people the opportunity is to study and understand what's being baptized in, so there's no regret. Or there's no backing out now to claim that, okay, you believe this, I didn't know this, and now they're out there with no guidance. So what we're saying is give it some time and learn a few things, and we have a class to make sure you understand all of the doctrine. Sometimes we speed it up and say, well, okay, it don't have to be this amount of time. It's no 6 months. It's like a class that takes between 1 and 3 months to learn what you're getting into, and then we deal with the ceremony. But it's been times where I went out in public last year, near Washington, D.C., in that area, and people came out for the first time, and I baptized everybody in the water and say, have your class please. So we're going to have more of that because time is running short. But I'm letting you know why we put certain things in place, because people are coming in, you know, because they be on that high after hearing one thing concerning the truth they can relate to. But they may not believe the rest of what we teach. So we're trying
that
to give them a service. Yeah. So we're trying to do them
sense.
A service.
Okay.
Yeah. We're trying to do them a service to have them understand the full commitment they're making. That's all that is.
And did I hear you right when you said you went out to Washington, D.C., and for the first time there was people that came out and you baptized them right away and then they took classes later?
Yeah, I've done that under certain circumstances, not to undermine other churches and all that, but I did that last year, and I'm going to do it again.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was right when I told this woman this, because that happened, and I seen that same thing happen where people got baptized for the first time, and it was a woman trying to say that couldn't happen because you had to wait the six-month process in order to get baptized.
There's no process for baptism, no.
Got you. Okay, I totally understand. No. Got you.
No.
One more question, Elder Ricard, because I don't want to hold you up because I know you got a lot of other callers. You know, there's another thing, too. Sometimes I tend to question myself. I don't know if maybe I'm hearing the wrong voice in my head, but sometimes, you know, I question myself about God's mercy and forgiveness on me because there's been many times, you know, in my life, because I've been baptized too. I got baptized in 2017 under the name of the Most High, Ahaya Bahashim Yeshaya. And, you know, even after I got baptized, there were sins that I was, my teacher, Brother Sidney Bowens.
Is he a part of this church?
He's not a part of your church, but I believe he's learned from you.
Okay, so the commandment keepers are now using the true name of the Most High. That's good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I got baptized under the name of the Most High in 2017. But okay. there was one thing I wanted to say. There were many times, you know, even after baptism, throughout many years, there was a time I didn't go to church for a year. There was a time I was still dealing with the wrong people that was in my circle, you know, and there was times I was giving in to sin that I knew it was wrong, because I ain't going to lie, you know, I was weak, I was tempted, I was around the wrong influence, and I didn't really care to know what I was getting myself into. I just went along with it. And, you know, there was a time, you know, I even went to jail too, and all praise to the Most High, I got out, you know, because I just got mixed up in a lot of BS, you know. Okay. And sometimes, you know, I tend to question myself, like, man, you know, can God forgive me for all the things I did, all the foul things I said out my mouth, you know? Sometimes I believe, have I gone so overboard to where the Most High just don't want to deal with me no more, you know? Even though I pray every day, you know, I pray to the Most High every day, because the Bible says, you know, pray without season. But sometimes, you know, I just ask myself, man, you know, can the Most High forgive me for all the sins I've done, all the even all the sins, the foul things I said out my mouth, you know, because the Bible says by your words you're justified, or by your words you'll be condemned, you know. And you know, I just
old,
have a question now.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Where's your father?
Where's my father?
Yeah.
My father lives in Iowa. I have a good relationship with him, though.
Okay. And is your father a believer?
I believe he once was, but every time I talk to him about Christ, I don't know, he comes with all these narratives using science and history, so I wouldn't say he is.
Okay, all right. Let me show you something, all right?
Mm-hmm. My father's white, too.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, you know. All right. Matthew 12:31 reads, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." Right? "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come." I'm sure whatever you did, you didn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You more so harmed yourself with sinning against God's law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blasphemy of the Holy
yes,
Spirit
sir.
Is doing what? Is if you see a work in Christ that only Christ could have blessed to show forth the kingdom to mankind, and someone try to claim all that great work was of the devil and it's evil and wrong. They see in something right, but yet they're saying it's evil. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What you've done...
Ooh, thank God.
Yeah. So what you're doing is even... It's actually more harm to yourself than it is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So the whole answer to that is, as long as you have opportunity and a conscience towards God, there's what? There's time. Repent, go forward, walk away from sin, and the Most High will embrace you. On top of that, the Bible says what? Through charity, it covers a multitude of sins. Do what's right to your fellow man. Do what's right by other people. And the Most High will say, you don't even worry about that, and walk forward through truth, all right? And again, stop, and I can tell this about you, right? Stop seeking acceptance from others, right?
Yes, sir.
Look at, you're measuring yourself by how others see you, and you can't do that, because no one will ever satisfy someone else's idea of them. right? And this is why you came with what these other camps say. Who cares what they say? Serve the living God and do what's right, and you'll be accepted by him.
All right? Yes, sir.
So that's it on that. I got to get to the next call because I only got one call left, and I'll just probably pick up some more calls next week.
Okay.
But
brother, hey, thank you, Elder Rafa.
Hey, you're welcome. You're fully accepted. Get into this war. Time is running out, all right?
Thank you, sir. You're going to hear from me again, too. You're going to hear from me again, man, because I can feel the good spirit off of you, man. You're a good brother. Thank you, man.
Hey, brother, listen. I'm just doing the will of the Most High and teaching his word, brother. It ain't about feeling who someone is. The Most High got something in all of us. You do what you need to do. You do what's right for you, okay? Follow
yes,
the true and living God.
Hey, come visit Tacoma soon. Come visit Tacoma. I live in Tacoma.
Okay, Tacoma, Washington. Okay, reach out. We're going to link you in with somebody out there, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank God, man, for real. All praises to the Most High, man. You're a good teacher, Elder Ricard. Thank you.
Hey, brother, all praises. All praises to the Most High. All praises to him. Bless you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Right. Shalom.
Shalom. He ran into one of those camps. But they can berate you to the point of feeling like nothing. I've known it.
Right.
I've known it. Hey, coming up in the 90s, I've done it. Okay, so no, it's not right. 267 area code. Seven, six, zero area code, last call for this evening. And then I'll just pick up more calls this coming Friday for you sisters. I wanted to make sure we hear from some sisters to tell us, give us some insight, but sometimes the Most High throws curveballs and we have to deal with it, right? 760 area code.
Shalom, elders.
Okay, you're the blessed last call for this evening. We're at the top of the hour. What say you?
Yes, so I wanted to actually answer the question that you said about what is it that we need to do as daughters of Zion to get in line with things going forward. And I kind of wanted to just speak on myself. I have been in the truth for officially a year now. February 19 was my rebirth day. And I want to give you guys all praises be to the Most High for the teachings. I personally myself have basically just learned to get into scriptures and to humble myself and be submissive to my husband and unlearn the ways of things that I have been taught, which means that if I want my husband to be in a leadership role or to be...
What have you been taught? Let's talk about some of the things you've been taught that you had to fight against to get in order, to get in total order and submission with your husband.
Just watching things like, you know, these celebrities that you watch, learning the fact that they are entertainment and not actual role models, and to find actual role models in the Bible and read scriptures like how you read over 1 Timothy, where I just recently, you know, my aunt had shown me that scripture because when I'm at Shabbat and I'll be asking questions and I just learned that myself, like, oh man, like women, we're supposed to, if we have questions, go to our husband and ask our husband those questions. And then if our husband doesn't have the answer to those questions, then he would go to an elder. So just learning the order of things and how it's supposed to go, learning to be respectful, learning to ask my husband for permission on certain things, whether it be like, you know, can I do this or can we do this and trust in his guidance and leadership are things that I've been learning. So just unlearning that masculine energy where you feel like you have to be in control of things or it has to go your way and not someone else's way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And the sisterhood out there, you know, they're gonna say, hold up, the gynocracy, and the sister is gonna tell you, hold up now, you that sound weak to me. That's a weak woman.
Honestly, it might sound like that, and I could say that probably before I got in the troop, I probably would have said the same thing as well. But It's really empowering. I know all the sisters are tired. It's a lot, Elder, you know, this whole feminist thing. We didn't sign up for this. I know I didn't. Going to work, being a wife, cooking, you know, being a baker, being, you know, your husband's right-hand man all at one time. It's a lot. When all we had to do was, you know, stay at home and raise the children and be, you know, be our husband's helpmate, and just breaking down what that word actually means. You hear a lot of sisters say, well, you know, I feel like a man should pay all the bills and this, that, and the third. Don't get me wrong. I understand exactly where they're coming from and you are coming from, that a man should be somewhat put in a position to where they can, you know, take over the hand from the father. However, in the time since both men and women are so broken nowadays.
Let me ask you a question. What type of world we have where women are given cues on what a man should be?
A backwards world.
Thank you.
A backwards world.
I mean, and men are saying, hold up, we're here. Men can tell you what it is to keep a man, because we're men, right?
Yes.
But women, for some reason, women are taking cues from other women and are losing.
Yes.
Because what women can't tell you what satisfies a man. A man must tell you, because men aren't as simple as they think they are. Most think they are.
Yes.
Men are diverse. What can work for one man may not work for another man. So the whole deal is, it's best to take cues from the men.
Yes. I absolutely agree with you, Elder. I had some brothers a long time ago. They weren't in the truth, and I wasn't either. We had this conversation. At the time, my mindset, I was like, oh, no, that couldn't be possibly right. And now that I've came into the truth, they're still not in the truth, but I've talked to those brothers and I was like, man, you guys are trying to tell me these things. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. A man tells you what it is that they want. So as women, we have to stop aligning ourselves with other women who want to live the way they want to live. And we should align ourselves with what brothers say, because they've told us for years they don't like the makeup. They don't like the fake weave. They don't like the long lashes and all these kind of things.
Don't want it.
Yeah.
Don't want it.
Yes.
Men are saying they don't want it, and they're trying to force it. Men say they don't want it. And then when men go do something else, they'll say that it's because of some other reason. Men say we don't want it. They don't want it.
Yep.
Right?
So it's time for the sisters to take accountability of the places that we got ourselves into, whether it be a single mom and things like that. It's okay. You just take accountability. You made the wrong steps and you went down the wrong path. Yeah. However, now you have kids, be able to get your kids back on track, you know, breaking that generational curse.
Yeah. Well, sister, you on the right track. I never understood, and I hear these women on TikTok, whatever, they be talking to other women or whatever the case is. Nonsense. And I be hearing them say, well, a real man would do this, or a real man would do that. Okay, you're a woman. The real men are here.
Yeah.
And they're telling you.
And most of them didn't have fathers, Elder.
A woman can't possibly tell another woman what a real man would do. You are a woman.
Women
should be conversating with each other on what they can do to be pleasing for a man. That should be the conversation amongst women.
Yes.
Not another woman saying, well, a real man would do this, and a real man. You're a woman.
Yes.
You don't know. You have to ask a real man, okay, literally, what's acceptable. But you know what? Sister, but the Most High, a lot of get right is happening right now throughout the earth, and a reckoning has come. And I believe a lot of our sisters are waking up, right?
Yes, sir.
You can only kick against a brick wall for so long, and when you realize it isn't budging, and you can only shout at a wall so long to realize a wall don't listen.
And
then things are digressing. You know, people are. It's whatever used to work, the shaming and all that other stuff, that doesn't work anymore. Only compliance is going to help our sisters and becoming submissive and admitting, I need help. I need help. It's not about me. I don't have people are not asking people to apologize for things they didn't, you know, mistakes they made in the past. We all have made them. It's about saying, you know what, this strong, the Most High didn't make a woman to be strong and independent.
No.
Okay. Independent is an individual. Okay.
Yes.
When you came out of a man.
Yeah. I mean, we have other areas that we're strong in, but, you know,
allow a man to be strong in what he's strong in,
you know?
Just to think about this. If a man, if Adam said he was going to be independent, he would still have his rib.
Yes.
Okay. She came from him, which made her codependent from the beginning.
Yes.
So, you know, they played a hard trick on us, but you know what? We're the children of Israel, and we're back. And we're going to get our family
back. Yes, sir.
You have the last one.
Thank you so much.
Go on.
That's pretty much it, Elder. Like, thank you guys so much for the teachings. And like you said, Israel is back.
How old are you, sister?
I am 29.
Look at that. Sister, keep that spirit. Don't let no one take that spirit away. All right?
Thank you.
There you go.
Shalom.
And that's a sister right there. With a hedge, right? So good for you. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High stay with you. Stay prayed up. Thank you, Elder Lawyer. Sin not. Thank you, Elder Ramar, for setting up the host for this evening. Thank all you brothers and sisters that are part of the glorious body of the kingdom, the gathered of Christ Church. And that concludes our lesson for today, our blessing. Our blessed conversation is more than a lesson. And I hope you are edified. And, of course, we'll open up Zoom and the lines this coming Friday for Patreon. This week, we will be talking about what?